Father's Day, and we're doing our Behind the Text series. And what is going to happen in a moment, I'm going to be very kind to this side over here, and I'm going to bring this fan all the way around here, okay? There you go. And but what we're going to do is, I'm going to take some of you back to your childhood. Okay, are you ready for this? Yeah. Right, youth, this is what TV was like when your parents were young. So it's, for some of you, it's quite a long time ago. Okay, and so this is what we grew up with. And so we're just going to take 7 minutes out of my preaching. I thought, it's Father's Day. We can put our feet up. Dad's no going to sleep, because we all know that's what you do whenever you watch TV, okay? And we all know that you took the remote, like, under your arm. That's what my dad does anyway, okay? So no one can change the channel. No one can kind of do anything with it, and you all fall asleep. We're not allowed to do that this morning. But if you just watch the screen, I'm going to take you back a little bit to your childhood. Thanks, guys.
This is the story of Mr. Strong. Mr. Strong is the strongest person in the whole wide world. The strongest person there ever has been, and probably the strongest person there ever will be. He is so strong that he can not only bend an iron bar with his bare hands, he can tie knots in it. Mr. Strong is so strong, he can throw a cannonball as far as you or I can throw a tennis ball. Mr. Strong is so strong he can hammer nails into a wall just by tapping them with his finger. Strong by name and strong by nature. And would you like to know the secret of Mr. Strong's strength? Eggs. The more eggs Mr. Strong eats, stronger he becomes. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Anyway, this story is about a funny thing that happened to Mr. Strong one day. That morning, he was having breakfast. And for breakfast, he was having eggs. Followed by eggs. And to finish, he was having, guess what? That's right. Eggs. That was Mr. Strong's normal breakfast. After his eggy breakfast, Mr. Strong cleaned his teeth. And, as usual, he squeezed all the toothpaste out of the tube. And, as usual, he cleaned his teeth so hard, he broke his toothbrush. Mr. Strong gets through a lot of toothpaste and toothbrushes. After that, he decided to take a walk. Put on his hat, opened the front door of his house. What a beautiful day, thought to himself. Yes. And stepping outside his house, he shut the front door. Door fell off its hinges. Mr. Strong gets through a lot of front doors. Then Mr. Strong went for his walk. He walked through the woods. But he wasn't looking where he was going. And walked slap bang into a huge tree. A huge tree trunk snapped. And the tree thundered to the ground. Whoops, said Mr. Strong. He walked into town. And again, not looking where he was going, he walked slap-bang straight to a brick wall. And Mr. Strong, being Mr. Strong, walked straight through that brick wall. Whoops, said Mr. Strong. Eventually, Mr. Strong walked through the town and out into the country, to a farm. The farmer met him in the road, looking very worried. What's the matter? Asked Mr. Strong.
It's my cornfield. It's on fire and I can't put it out.
Strong looked over the hedge and sure enough, cornfield is blazing fiercely. Water, said Mr. Strong. We must get water to put out the fire.
But I don't have enough water to put the whole field out, cried the worried farmer. And the nearest water's down to the river. And I don't have a pump.
Then we'll have to find something to carry the water, replied Mr. Strong.
Is that your barn? He asked, pointing to a barn in another field.
Yes, I was going to put my corn in it, said the farmer. But
can I use it? Asked Mr. Strong.
Yes, but
no buts. Come on.
Mr. Strong walked over to the barn, and do you know what he did?
He picked it up. He actually picked up the barn.
The farmer couldn't believe his eyes.
Then Mr. Strong carried the barn above his head down to the river. And he turned the barn upside down. Then he lowered it into the river so that it filled up the water. Then, and this shows how strong Mr. Strong really is, he picked it up and carried it back to the blazing cornfield. Mr. Strong emptied the upside-down barn full of water over the flames. Sizzle, sizzle, sputter, sputter. 1 minute, the flames were leaping in the air. The next minute, they'd gone.
However can I thank you?
The farmer asked Mr. Strong.
Oh, it was nothing, remarked Mr. Strong modestly.
But I must find some way to reward you,
said the farmer.
Well, said Mr. Strong, you're a farmer, so you must keep chickens.
Yes, I do, said the farmer. Lots.
And chickens lay eggs, went on Mr. Strong. And I rather like eggs.
Then you shall have as many eggs as you can carry,
said the farmer, and took Mr. Strong over to the farmyard. Mr. Strong said goodbye to the farmer and thanked him for the eggs, and the farmer thanked him for helping. Then Mr. Strong, just using one finger, picked up the eggs and went home. Mr. Strong put the eggs carefully down on his kitchen table and went to close the kitchen door. The door fell off its hinges. Whoops, said Mr. Strong, and sat down. Chair fell to bits. Whoops, said Mr. Strong, and started cooking his lunch. And for lunch, he was starting with eggs, followed by an egg or two, and an egg between eggs, and an egg on the side, and an egg for luck, and then eggs. And then for his pudding, he was having, well, can you guess? For his pudding, he was having ice cream.
Okay. Sam enjoyed that anyway. And Clarky did. There was lots of chuckles coming from over there. So I don't know if any of you can guess where we're going to be in the Bible. Can anyone guess? Samson. Okay, do you know where that is? Oh. Judges, somewhere in that book, there is a story about a guy called Samson. And what I just want to do, before we really get into the story, it's kind of 3 or 4 chapters long, so your homework is to go home and kind of read those 3 or 4 chapters. But what I want to do is just tell you a little bit about the book of Judges, just to go behind the text as we've been doing over the last few weeks and just give you a little bit of an overview of what is now happening in the Bible. So they've come through Egypt, they've come through the Red Sea, all of that kind of stuff has happened, and the Israelites have gone into Canaan, which is the land that God promised them. And when they were in there, there's a verse that keeps coming up in the book of Judges that simply says this: the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. So they kept messing up and they kept getting it wrong. And this book in the Bible spans around 400 years BC between the Israelites entering the promised land and before the monarchy began. So before they appointed a king, this is kind of the book that kind of spans that time in history. And it gives the history of Israel's foreign oppression and the delivering judges that God raised up, hence the name of the book. It's called Judges because there were loads of people that God raised up to judge his people and to rescue them when they'd absolutely messed up. And I'm going to give you a really quick list, okay? So don't, if you're taking notes, don't try and write all of this down. But I'm going to give you a quick list of who those people were, and let's see if I can pronounce all of the names, okay? So under the Mesopotamian oppression, Othniel was raised up as a judge, and he had leadership, and he rescued God's people. Then the Israelites messed up, and so the Moabites came and oppressed them, and Ehud delivered them. And that is one of the greatest stories, I think, in the book of Judges. Okay, it's absolutely fantastic. Go home and read Judges chapter 3. I grew up on this story, absolutely loved it. And there's lots of toilet humor in there as well. So that's always good in the Bible to have stuff like that. Okay, so Ehud rose up and he delivered God's people. Then the Israelites messed up again, and the Philistines came and oppressed them. And Shamgar's leadership rose up and he rescued the Israelites. Are we getting the picture of the book of Judges? This is kind of what goes on throughout the whole of it. Then they messed up again, and the Canaanites, so the land that they're living in, the people that they've already defeated once, okay, the Canaanites rise up and they oppress them. And then Deborah and Barak's leadership joint rescues them and brings them into a good season again. Then the Israelites messed up again, and the Midianites oppress them, and Gideon rises up and becomes the judge in Israel, and he rescues them and he leads them. Then they have hard times under Abimelech, Tola, and Jer. There's Ammonite oppression, and Jephthah's leadership rises up and he becomes the judge and rescues them. Then we have a few minor judges, okay, in the book of Judges, and it's Ibizan, Elon, and Abdon. And then we come to chapter 13. And chapter 13 begins like this. It feels a little bit like a Mr. Man story because it just keeps repeating itself. Okay? It begins like this. Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Philistines came and oppressed them again for 40 years. And right at the beginning of their time, when they were coming and dictating to the Israelites and all that kind of stuff, God was raising up a judge. And that judge's name was Samson. And Samson, the Bible tells us, was a strong man. So when he was born, God came and visited, an angel visited his mother and said, you're going to have a son. When you have this son, she was barren, couldn't have children. When you have this son, what we're telling you is never, ever cut his hair. He's not allowed to have his hair cut. You've just got to keep it growing longer and longer, because that will be the source of his strength. Just like Mr. Strong, the source of his strength, we are told, is eggs. Eggs and more eggs. Okay, Samson, the source of his strength was going to be his hair. So God said, don't cut his hair. Okay, just keep it growing, because that is going to be the source of his strength. When you read it, you kind of think about the Israelites and think about, you know, they messed up, then God rescued them, then they messed up. In fact, the whole of the Old Testament reads like that. Until you come to the end of the Old Testament, and then there's 400 years of silence, and we start the New Testament with the birth of Jesus, because God knew that something had to change because his people weren't going to. So he had to step in and do something, which is why he sent Jesus, because then once and for all, the sacrifice had been made. Once and for all, okay, we didn't have to keep coming back to God. God doesn't have to keep raising up someone else, because when Jesus died on a cross, which is what we've just celebrated, that's all God had to do. Right. When I say all, it's a little bit more than that. But in the Old Testament, we read that the whole of the Old Testament reads, and the Israelites messed up and God delivered them. And the Israelites messed up and God delivered them. And in this situation, God turned the Israelites over to the Philistines for 40 years. And what I love about God is right at the beginning of that, even though God was angry because they'd done something wrong, even though God was not happy with them because of the way that they were living, right at the beginning of that oppression, God helped a barren woman conceive a child that was going to deliver them out of it. You see, I love the fact that even in the middle of God's anger, and we're told in the Old Testament that his anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. In that moment of anger, God still began the plan of delivering them. Yeah. God still began the plan of raising someone up to come and fix it for them. Right. And what I want to do this morning, I want to look at the story of Samson, and I want to look at the things that God did and the things that Samson did. But even at the end of the story, when Samson had messed up, because it wasn't just the people all the time. Sometimes it was the leaders that messed up. And even when he had messed up, God gave him a second chance. God gave him another chance to do the very thing that he had called him to do. And so I want to look at this story this morning and hopefully just bring us a few points that are going to help us, whatever season of life we're in, whatever time of life we're in, whether we're at the top of the mountain and it's all rosy, or whether we're at the bottom of the valley, like I talked about the other week, and things are a little bit difficult, or whether we're somewhere in between, whether we're on the climb up or whether we're on the way back down. It doesn't matter where we are this morning. Hopefully the four things that I'm going to bring to us are going to help us wherever we are in life. So we start off with Mr. Strong, and I don't know if you've ever kind of done that thing when you were at school, and there was something going on at school, and, you know, kids would say this to the other kid, it's all right, and this kid would say, but my dad will come and get you. And then you start on the thing, but my dad's stronger than your dad, but my dad's bigger than your dad. And when I was growing up, probably for most of my mates, my dad probably physically was stronger than most of their dads. My dad was a brickie. And so, you know, he kind of built houses and all of that kind of stuff. And he was a strong man. But the thing is with my dad was not only strong physically, but he was strong morally. So I knew that I could say to them, but my dad's stronger than your dad. And I know my dad's not going to go and take your dad out. Because he's not only strong physically, and he could do, but he's also strong morally, so I know he's not going to. So I was in a little bit of one of those quandaries when I was growing up, because if they ever called me on it, okay, and like I took my dad to meet their dad, I'm not quite sure what would have happened. I used to get out of situations before that. But what I'm here to tell you this morning, Matt's already alluded to it, is that we have a father who is stronger than anybody else. We have a father whose strength outlasts anybody else's strength. We have a father who is consistently strong in every single way. And what I want to do this morning is talk to you about the subject of strength, using Samson as an example of that. I want to look at these chapters, and we're not going to read huge amounts of the chapters out this morning. I want you to go home and read them with these points in mind. So Samson was the original Mr. Strong. And the secret of his strength, as I've already said, was his hair. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at four things that happened in the life of Samuel, and we're going to link it to this whole subject of strength, because I think God wants us to live strong. Yeah. I don't think he wants us to live weak. In fact, the Bible says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I think that God wants us to know strength this morning, and we're going to do something at the end to kind of bring that home. So the first thing that I want to tell you about Samson, about this whole thing of strength, is this, that strength is sapped by the distraction of our vulnerability. Strength is sapped by the distraction of our vulnerability. Samson had major vulnerabilities. James spoke the other week about another guy in the Bible, and his vulnerability was women, and Samson was pretty much the same, okay? So Samson's vulnerability was the opposite sex, and the enemy knew that, and so he always played on Samson's weakness. And I want to tell you that his strength in the end was sapped by the vulnerability of his weaknesses. So just a little bit of history for Samson then. He married someone called Timnah, who was a Philistine. So he married someone that wasn't of the same tribe as he was. And God had set a precedent that actually what he wanted the Israelites to do is marry other Israelites. And Samson decided to go his own way and do his own thing. And so he married this Philistine. And a little bit later on, her father decides that he doesn't like Samson. So he takes his daughter, who Samson's married, and he gives her to Samson's best mate. So all of a sudden, Samson's lost his wife. He's lost everything. He kind of goes along and eventually ends up sleeping with a prostitute and then falls in love with this woman called Delilah. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know Delilah was not the best woman that he could have fallen in love with. Let's just put it that way, okay? And Delilah, in the end, was bribed by the Philistines to tell them the secret of his strength so they could capture him and keep on oppressing the Israelites. And so Delilah tried, and she's like, Samson, you know, she used her feminine charms. She's like, Samson, can you tell me the secret of your strength? And three times she asked him, and three times he lied to her. So he said to Eno, if you use these certain ropes and tie me up, I could never break free from them. So he'd go to sleep and she'd do exactly what he told her to do. And then she'd call the Philistines and then she'd shout, Samson, Samson, as if, you know, she's this woman in distress. The Philistines are upon you. And the Bible tells us that Samson got up, he broke through the ropes and he defeated the Philistines. But in the end, she wore him down. What is it the Proverbs say? A nagging wife is like a dripping tap. Okay? Eventually, Delilah wore him down. All right? There is some truth in that, ladies. So just to, you know, it's Father's Day today. You've got to be nice to the guys. Okay? So eventually she wore him down, and eventually he told her the secret of his strength. And so while he was asleep, she shaved his hair. I am not sure. He must have been a really great sleeper. Because I really don't think, I mean, Matt has a bald head most of the time, but I really don't think that when he was asleep, I could kind of take the razor to his head. I think he would wake up.
Probably, yes.
I think he would wake up. But she shaves off his head, and then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, and they come, and they are able to tie him and to take him away. And the Bible tells us that they actually took his eyes out. Ugh. Bible's a bit gory in the Old Testament. I quite like the New Testament. It's a little less gory sometimes. But I want to say to us this morning that his strength was sapped by his vulnerability, by those weaknesses that he has. And sometimes in our life, our strength is sapped by those weaknesses that we try to disguise as not being weaknesses. Those things that we know are in our lives, those things that we know pull us down, sometimes they sap our strength. And so when the enemy comes, when those rough times comes, we actually have nothing to give out, because what's happened is our vulnerability and our weakness has grown so big that it begins to sap all the strength out of us. We need to be able, as people of God, to pinpoint those things that we struggle with. And this is not always the easiest thing to talk about, but sometimes we've got to be able to pinpoint those things that we struggle with, those things that are difficult, those things that we find hard, those things that are bringing us down. We've got to be able to pinpoint that and then begin to deal with them. I love programs that are kind of crime-based programs. So there's a program that I like watching called Lie to Me. And it's a program where this guy, who is really cool, he watches people's body language to decide whether they're lying or not. And so one day, there was this guy who they wanted to make a judge in America. And so they brought him to his office and they said, can you tell us if there's anything in his past that is going to be detrimental to us putting his name forward for this judgeship? And basically they sat and they had to find out whether he was lying. So they would ask him questions and they would watch his body language. Even the smallest thing that we do can actually tell someone else who is trained if we're lying. You see, what they wanted to do is they wanted to find his weakness so that his weakness wouldn't all of a sudden surprise everyone and sap him of his strength. Because he obviously had strength, because they were going to put him in this position of honor and this position of power. But what they didn't want is that some weakness deep back in his history and in his past to come and sap him of the strength that he's got today. Do you know what? All of us have got those things in our lives that we wish weren't there. All of us. We've all got those traits. We've all got that past. We've all got those things that we wished had never happened. And what I want to say to you this morning is when we learn to pinpoint those things, when we learn to deal with those things, they will then have no power to sap us of the strength that God is going to give us for our tomorrow. You see, Samson had his weakness, and that weakness sapped him of his strength for tomorrow. Time after time in both the Bible and in the days that we live, we have seen things like money, sex, and power destroy ministry and destroy leadership. Do you know what, church? It's about time that we just got to grips with it. It's about time we learn to say, actually, this is something in me that I struggle with, and find somebody that is good to tell that to. This is something in me that I struggle with. Pinpoint it so that actually when God begins to use you and when God begins to do stuff in your life, all of a sudden it's not going to be ripped away by one of those things that is your weakness.
Yeah.
I read this verse this week. I was studying for some preach I'm going to be doing in a few weeks' time. And Psalm 119, verse 133 in the Passion Translation says this, prepare for me a path filled with your promises and don't allow one sin to have dominion over me. Don't allow one sin to have dominion over me. What a prayer. What a thing to say to God. God, fill my path, fill my life with your promises. But God, I realize that actually to get those things, I need to live right. So don't allow one sin to have dominion over me. The word dominion means this: rule, authority, sphere of influence, or area of control. So if we look at that verse again, prepare for me a path filled with your promises and don't allow one sin to have dominion, to have rule, to have authority, to have a sphere of influence, or to have an area of control over me. My question to us this morning is, what things have that sphere of influence over your life? What things in your world this morning are your vulnerabilities? Because actually, when God strengthens you, we've got to be careful that those things don't come and begin to steal what God has got for us. Right. You know, a lot of the time we spend time justifying our sin rather than asking God not to allow it to control us. Right. We spend time justifying what we do wrong. Oh, well, I can understand why you would think that way or why you would do that. I get it. How many times do we say that to people when they come? Do you know what? Now if someone comes and says to me, I've done this and it's wrong, a lot of the time I go, yep. Now, how do we move on? How do we go forward? You're right. Because actually, we've got to get good at realizing in all of us, there's stuff that we do that is wrong. And pray this prayer from the Psalms. God, don't allow one sin. I've been praying that this week. Don't allow one sin to have dominion or rule or influence over my life. Because our vulnerabilities will sap us of our strength. Samson allowed sin to control him, allowed vulnerability with women to take his strength, and ultimately God's plan for his life. Yeah. That's what happened. And you know, it's quite easy in the Christian world to say, you know, but God had his way in the end. And yes, he did. But there was a better way that Samson could have taken. And sometimes for us, there's a better way that we can take. And his poor decisions lost him strength and standing that he had in rescuing God's people. It wasn't just his physical strength that he lost. It was his standing in the house of God. Yes. It was his standing with the people of God. And there are so many times that I have watched over my years in ministry, people lose their standing in the house of God because of poor decisions that they make. Yeah. It's so hard to regain that. It's so hard. It's possible, but it's so much harder if we'd made good decisions in the first place. And from this moment on, let's draw a line in the sand this morning. If we make good decisions in the first place, we're not going to have to do that hard journey. So the enemy knows your weakness and your vulnerability, and he will not hesitate to use it against you. So let's get good at pinpointing where that is and dealing with it, because we all have it. I have it. Matt has it. James has it. We all have it. So let's get good at pinpointing it so the enemy can't come and sap us of our strength. Number two, the source of your strength is God. It's not your strengths. In the end, the source of Samson's strength was God. It wasn't the fact that he was a strong man. Because we know that when his hair went off, his strength went away. And in the end, although his hair grew back, okay, he realized that his source of strength was God. There are so many times that we can go, you know, this is where I'm strong. I did one of those Facebook quiz things. I never do them. But there was one that caught my eye, and I did this Facebook quiz that I thought was going to take me 5 seconds. And like 15 minutes later on the 100th question, if I'd have known it was that long, I would not have started it. But I'm a person that believes if you start something, should finish it. And I thought, I'm going to see what it says about me. And at the end, it listed about 10 attributes, and it was scarily correct, okay? And it listed about 10 attributes, and I could look at those things and go, that is where I'm strong. It also listed within those strengths where the weakness lies. I kind of wanted to cover over that, but if I'm honest, let's not read that sentence. Let's just stay to the strong bit, okay? But I kind of read through and thought, yeah, actually, those things are where I am strong. But this is what I need to realize. That's not where my strength lies. My strength lies in God. My strength lies in God. Samson's source of strength was God and not his hair. It was God who anointed him with the Holy Spirit every time he used his strength. Judges 14, verse 6, this is speaking of Samson, said this: "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so he tore the lion apart." If the source of his strength was just his hair, he'd have been able to do that without God. And you read over and over in the life of Samson that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and then he did, and then he did, and then he did. You see, his source of strength wasn't just his hair. His source of strength was his God. And we need to realize that your source of strength is not just in the strengths that you possess, although they are brilliant. It's actually in God. It can be easy to put our confidence in our strengths, but our real lasting strength comes from God. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says this: "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not just all about your might. It's not all about your power. It's about his spirit anointing your life and coming down to your life. We have to realize that our strength comes from God. He is the source of our confidence. And he is the one who will strengthen us to do whatever he has asked us to do. So our strength is not in our strengths. It's in our God. Yeah. Thirdly, your strength and your obedience are linked. The moment Samson gave away the secret of his strength was the moment he disobeyed and gave into his weakness, and his strength left him. His strength didn't leave him just when they cut off his hair. His strength left him the moment he gave in to the vulnerability of his weakness. When we live in disobedience to God, that cuts off the source of our strength. Did you know that? So sometimes when we come and we go, "I'm just feeling so weak at the moment," maybe we should just look at the way we're living and actually realize that our obedience and our strength is linked. And it's not always the case that when we are weak, so don't hear what I'm not saying, it's not always the case that when we're weak, we're being disobedient. Sometimes life just knocks us. But there are other times when those two things are linked very strongly. That our obedience and our strength is linked. Psalm 28 verses 7 and 8 says this: "You are my strength and my shield from every danger. When I fully trust in you, help is on the way. I jump for joy and burst forth with ecstatic, passionate praise. I will sing the songs of what you mean to be. You will be the inner strength of your people, the mighty protector of all, the saving strength of all your anointed ones." Sometimes we've got to realize that what we need to do is obey. And when we obey, our strength will be seen. When we first adopted Oliver, about 3 weeks in, Caitlin asked when he was going back to his foster home. She decided, she tried him, didn't want to keep him. "See you later. I'd like another one, please. A little bit smaller and one that doesn't nick all my toys," because Oliver was strong. And so there was definitely a settling in period for our two children, kind of getting to know each other. But I will never forget this day. We were here and we were running Beautiful She, and we were downstairs in the youth suite. And Caitlin was at one end of the youth suite and Oliver was at the other end. So Ollie was sitting down playing with some baby toys and Caitlin was doing whatever she was doing. And we've kind of said to her, "You know, Caitlin, he's your little brother." And it was quite hard to say that because he was pretty much bigger than her. Okay. "But he's your little brother. You need to look after him. You need to look after him." And so when we go out, Caitlin, let's make sure we look after Oliver. And we were trying to get them to bond and trying to get them to kind of, you know, play together and all that, which was very, very difficult at times. And this one day I'm kind of thinking, is this thing happening? Is this bond happening? You know, does she even like him yet? And she was at one end of the room and Oliver was at the other end. And this older boy, who was just a little bit younger than Caitlin, but obviously a lot, lot bigger than Caitlin, went to take a toy off Ollie. So Caitlin is at this end of the room. Oliver's at that end of the room. And all of a sudden she looks over and this older boy is going to take the toy off her little brother. And she launches, like this little diddy girl, okay, launches herself, begins to run. And as she is running, and it's very echoey downstairs, isn't it? As she is running, just screams at the top of her voice, "That's my brother!" and launches herself at this kid, like rugby tackles him out of the way. I have to say, we had to kind of tell her that's probably not what we meant when we said, "Look after your brother." But I have to admit, there was a bit of me that was high-fiving her on the inside. Okay, as she took out this kid. You see, her strength was seen. She was just doing what Mummy had said. Maybe not in the way that Mummy had meant. But she was just doing what Mummy had said because that's her brother. And actually, you want to mess with him? You mess with me. Okay, she can knock 10 bells out of that boy. And has done frequently for the last however many years of his life. He's getting a little bit tougher now and he'll punch back. But that's a whole new season for us. But she can do what she wants to him. She can say what she wants to him. But anyone else, you want to get to him, you go through her, and she is tougher than she looks. She may be small, she may be thin, but I tell you, when you begin to start on something that is hers, her strength comes out. And the only reason I think she did that is because we'd been talking and said, Caitlin, just look after your little brother. Why don't you, instead of being mean to him, why don't you look after him? And this is what looking after him looked like in her eyes as she ran the whole way down the youth suite and just kind of knocked this kid out, nearly. And we had to kind of, you know, probably fill in an incident report and all that kind of stuff. And when it's the leader's kid, that's always interesting. But it's kind of, all of a sudden, her obedience and her strength came together. And she may not have acted necessarily in the way that I would have wanted her to, but actually she did what I asked her to do. Do you know what? When you do what God asks you to do, even if sometimes we do it in a wrong way, even if sometimes it's not totally perfect, do you know what? God's strength will hit you and God's strength will fill you and you will get to do what it is you set out to do. Because your obedience and your strength is linked. Psalm says this, when I fully trust you, when this happens, when we fully trust God, when we obey his plans and his guidelines for our life, our inner strength will be fueled by the power of his Holy Spirit. Yeah. You want to be strong today. If you want to be strong, why not obey what it is God has said to you? Yeah. And then the fourth thing is this, that God will always restore strength to us, even after we've given it away. God will always come back another time. We will always get another chance. There is never a time where my kids won't get another chance with me. There is never a time where you and I won't get another chance with God. There is nothing you can do. There is nowhere you could go. There is no thing that could happen in your life that could mean you won't get another chance with your Father in heaven. Yeah. And I want to read to you. I want to read to you this morning. What happened at the end of Samson's life, and then just make a few comments about it as we bring it into close. Judges 16, verses 28 to 30 says this, I'm reading from the Voice version of the Bible. Samson, crying out to the Lord, said, Lord, Eternal One, remember me and fill me with strength this one last time. O true God, so that with this last act of revenge, I can pay back the Philistines for the loss of my sight. He took hold of the two main pillars of the building, the one supporting the roof, and leaned hard against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Let me die here with the Philistines, he said. And he pushed with all his might. The pillars gave. The building collapsed on the rulers and all the Philistine people who were in it. The number of enemies that he killed at his death were greater than the number of Philistines he had killed during the rest of his life. Samson, although he got it wrong, although he messed up, when he called out to God, God heard him. When he called out to God, God came and strengthened him one last time. Do you know what? We have never gone too far or done too much wrong that God won't hear us and fill us again with his power, with his strength, and with his might. Do you know what? I love the restoration of Samson here, because the last thing he ever did was right. Do you know what he's remembered for? He's remembered as the one who pushed the pillars. And yes, we know all about his mess ups. Yes, we know all about his weaknesses. But at the end of his life, he's remembered as the one who stood and who pushed with all the might that he and God could muster up. He's the one who remember the restoration of. He's the one who, through his time when he was taken captive, his hair began to grow back. God didn't leave him bald. He didn't leave him with no hair and no strength. Even in his time when he was in prison, when he was in captivity, God began to allow his hair to grow again. He was filling him with strength from the moment they shaved his head. From the moment we do something wrong, from the moment we make a mess up, do you know what? God is there right in that moment, ready to fill us with strength again, ready to fill us. At the moment we call out to him, he will fill us. This is what I love about Samson. And if you want my kind of behind the text quote for the life of Samson, it is simply this, that Samson chose to die in strength rather than live in weakness. He made a good choice that day, a choice that ultimately took his life, but he made a good choice. He chose to strengthen the people of God with the last thing that he did rather than live in a prison in weakness. And this morning, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know whether you know God or whether you don't, but strength in the end in our lives is found when we live out God's will rather than doing our own thing. We're never as strong as when we're doing the very thing God has told us to do. Even if that thing is hard, even if that thing is difficult, even if that thing no one else kind of understands, we're never as strong as when we're doing the thing that God's told us to do. So this morning, I don't know where you're all at in your life. I don't know whether you're feeling weak, whether you're feeling strong. I don't know whether you've come to church and gone, God, if they only knew what I'd done with my week, they wouldn't want me sitting here. The answer is yes, we would. But more than that, so he would want you sat here listening to this. I don't know whether your strength is sapped right now because of a way that you're living, whether your strength is just sapped by life itself. But this morning, God wants you to be strong. I believe that God wants us as his children to be strong. And so this morning, just as we're finishing, if you're saying, actually, God, I need to come to you again for whatever reason, and no one's going to think, oh, I wonder why they're, you know, on their feet. For whatever reason, you're going, my strength is low. It's time to ask God again. So if you're in here this morning, you go, actually, I just need, for the season of my life, I just need a bit more strength. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet. Because as we ask, Samson was in prison because he'd messed up, right? And the moment he asked, the Bible says that God filled him with strength and with power, and he pushed on the pillars. And for some of you this morning, you're trapped. And I don't know what it is that is trapping you right now, but for some of you this morning, you need to begin to push that thing out. And as we begin to pray, as we worship God together, why don't you just begin to lift your hands? Begin to ask God, God, strengthen me again. Strengthen me again. Strengthen me again. For what it is you've got for me, fill me with strength, God. What it is you want to do in me, fill me with strength. Don't allow your weakness to sap your strength this morning. But realize that even when our weaknesses take over, when we come to God one more time, it's one more time, people, he's going to fill us with strength and fill us with power to do what he has called us to do. And so we're going to come and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. I'm actually quite taken aback by the response this morning. The way I was going to do it, it's not going to work. But if you have someone near you who's stirred, why not just, I'm going to pray, but why don't you just put your hand on their shoulder? Why don't you just put your hand on their shoulder? And we're going to pray for strength this morning. We're going to ask God one more time. One more time. Come on, God, fill us. This won't be the last time that we'll ask him, but we're asking again. God, fill us with your strength. Father, Lord, I thank you for this house. I thank you, God, for what it is you have got for us. Lord, I thank you for what you've got for every individual stood here. And for those right now, Lord, that are feeling low in strength, God, I pray that right now as we're stood in your presence, that you will fill them. Lord, for whatever it is that they've got to do, for whatever it is that you have got for them, Lord, I pray that you will fill them. Lord, I pray as we stand for some of us between the pillars of those things that trap us, of those things that hold us back, Lord, and it feels like we're standing in a prison almost. Lord, I pray that God, this morning, through your strength in us, that we'll begin to push those pillars, that the prison that we're stood in, the building that we're stood in, that is keeping us contained, will begin to crumble. And Lord, it won't kill us, but we'll begin to walk out of that building. We'll begin to walk out, Father God, of the thing, of the prison that holds us back. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those who just through life, God, through life, they feel weak and a lack of strength. It's not through anything they've done. It's just through life, Lord. I pray that your kindness this morning, God, will bring an infusion of strength into their being. And Lord God, I pray exhaustion will lift. Low energy will lift. Tiredness will lift. God, the Bible says that when we grow weary, that if we wait on you, that God, you will cause us to rise on wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not be faint. Lord, for those that it's just life happening, Lord, I pray, Lord, a lack of energy to go in the name of Jesus. God, exhaustion to leave. And Lord, we can look at our lives and we can blame different things in our lives, but Lord, I pray where it's a spiritual battle, that those things will go and your power and your strength will replace them, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.